This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Welcome back to another episode of The New World Next Week, of course, on NewWorldNextWeek.com. And as always, a huge thanks to ParadigmShift.tv for helping spread the word about this show. James, this week's stories all kind of fit together with seeming preparations being made. And we'll begin with our first story that I have posted on CyberspaceWar.com. Microsoft's $8 billion Skype deal shocks analysts and, I would add, disappoints users. And we'll take it from The Guardian. Microsoft closed an $8.5 billion deal for the internet phone service Skype in a deal that has shocked analysts who think it would be a substantial overpayment for the company. The acquisition, announced on Tuesday, May 10th, is Microsoft's biggest, ahead of the $6 billion it paid for online advertising company Aquantive in 2007, and would bring it 666 million users worldwide while giving it a foothold in voice and video communications. Analysts suggested the service could be integrated into existing Microsoft products such as its Xbox 360 games, console, and Kinect gaming systems, or even into its flagship Office product to let users collaborate more effectively. Speculation has been rife in Silicon Valley for months about Skype's future. Rumors last week suggested Facebook, Google, or Cisco were interested in acquiring it to fold into their own services. Tony Bates, the CEO hired from Cisco to Skype last year, has reportedly been exploring the idea of joint ventures or a sale to Google and Facebook. So, James, I throw it back to you and just ask the question, you know, what do we do now? It seems as though every cool platform that we have that starts out as being basically an independent company slowly but surely always gets absorbed into the main big boys.
That's exactly right, isn't it? I mean, it's pretty predictable at this point that any service that offers something really interesting, something that will really help people communicate, is going to be taken over. So $8 billion sounds like an awful lot of money to be paying for a platform like this, and you have to wonder why a company like Microsoft would want something like Skype so badly. And I think anyone who believes that communications over the internet of any kind are secure in any way and is just deluding themselves, of course. They're all going to be able to be listened to by whatever alphabet soup agency out there really wants it. So I think we have to keep that in mind. But we also don't have to, we have to not allow that to take over our communications and to make us start censoring ourselves or anything like that, because It's too many of us for them to handle, so we have to keep that in mind and continue to press ahead with exposing the real information. But it is sad, nonetheless, that yet another interesting company gets, well, taken over to and corrupted by the man.
And it really, to me, seems like I feel like I can make the comparison between this and things that we see even within, I would say, the music world or the film world. This pattern of upstart, independent, you know, fresh ideas, and the major corporations, they have essentially none of their own, and they only exist with their sort of psychic vampirism, and they have to align themselves and associate themselves with art. That's why you'll see, you know, cool film festivals or music festivals always being sponsored by Coca-Cola or Microsoft, and it's a pittance for them, but they can kind of align themselves with the cool that they are not. They need to buy themselves into it. And it's just, this just seems to be another case of, well, why compete when we can just buy you up? So we'll move to our second story, James, and we'll take this from the New York Times. And, you know, folks may not be able to get this article since they've now dropped the paywall, but I do have it posted on MediaMonarchy.com. Emergency alert plan coming to your smartphone. The emergency broadcast system is coming to cell phones. Updating the National Emergency Alert System, federal officials announced Tuesday, May 10th in Manhattan, that some cell phone users in New York and D.C. will soon be able to receive alerts by text message in the event of a national or regional emergency. The service in those cities is scheduled to start late this year as a prelude to national service next year, perhaps as early as April 2012. To receive the alerts, users must have mobile phones with a special chip, which is currently included in some higher-end smartphones like the latest iPhone. The service will also require a software upgrade. How quickly consumers are able to participate in the system depends on the rate of replacement of cell phones with the special chip and software. The emergency text messages will include alerts issued by the president, information about public safety threats, and amber alerts for missing children. Text messages will be sent to customers of participating cell phone companies who are in areas affected by the emergency. Users can opt out of any of the alerts except the presidential messages. The alerts are designed to mimic the familiar radio and TV broadcast alerts that, for decades, accompanied by a shrill whistle and, in most instances, the message, "This is only a test," have advised Americans where to tune for an emergency message. This plan, known as the Personal Localized Alerting Network, new system will be a free service for people in New York and D.C. who have enabled phones and are customers with Verizon, AT&T, Sprint, or T-Mobile, who is about to be gobbled up by AT&T. This new technology could become a lifeline for millions of Americans and is another tool that will strengthen our nation's resilience against all hazards, said Craig Fugate, the administrator of FEMA. Julius Genachowski, the chairman of the FCC, said the system was designed to minimize the ability of hackers or spammers to send fraudulent messages. The alerts could appear directly on a cell phone screen, for example, rather than appear as a text message notification, and would probably be accompanied by a special vibration or other kind of signal. "We don't expect the alerts to be frequent," Mr. Genachowski said. "They will be reserved for when they are truly needed, for tornadoes or for disasters like 9/11. Although cell phone companies in the United States are not required to participate in the system, officials said they expected that cell phone makers would promote the inclusion of the special chip as a selling point for new mobile phones. Now, James, that was rather lengthy, but I do have a couple of other related updates to hit before I throw it right back to you. On the same day as this plan was announced, we also had a Senate panel grilling Apple and Google on their, of course, collection and use of location data. And just this morning from the Associated French Press, U.S. Secret Service takes to Twitter. The U.S. Secret Service, renowned for the sharp-suited agents protecting the U.S. president, made its debut on Twitter on Monday, saying the microblogging site could help recruiting. And for folks out there, it's at Secret Service. James.
I've always wanted to follow the Secret Service on Twitter, thankfully. Okay, well, interesting. And as we've talked about before with the other presidential emergency messages that will break through on radio and TV, I mean, it is just part of that Orwellian total control system of being able to basically construct an event out of whole cloth if they want to the next time there is some sort of emergency. I mean, it can all be completely constructed just out of nothing. So, and I just dropped my microphone, so I hope it's still working. But at any rate, to me, this is absolutely ridiculous, but it's just another step in that sort of total control system that we're being slotted into that watches everything you do, listens to everything you do, and now tells you what to do, exactly as predicted in 1984.
And I'll let you deal with your emergency if you need to there, and just mention that a lot of the comments on this story on the New York Times, as we've seen many, many times, you see folks saying, "Oh, it's that Obama, you know, he knows no limits," as we've said a million times, as if all of this magically started on January 20th, 2009, when Obama came in. Not like it's a seamless transition from one front man to another, and the agenda goes on.
That's exactly right. What have we got up for story number three?
Story number three, I guess, brings it all together, and we take this from Continuity Central, and this is basically just a press release, but on my posting on MediaMonarchy.com, I do have a lot of other links to go to these agencies. So again, we return to the fine folks at FEMA. Those and the folks at Homeland Security will begin National Level Exercise 2011, and they're going to run it reportedly May 16th through the 20th. Facilitated by FEMA, the National Level Exercise 2011 has been scheduled for May 16th to the 20th. The purpose of the exercise is to prepare and coordinate a multiple jurisdictional integrated response to a national catastrophic event with focus on response and recovery activities among federal, regional, state, tribal, local, and private sector participants. NLE 2010, or rather 2011, will simulate the catastrophic nature of a major earthquake in the central United States region of the New Madrid seismic zone. The year 2011 is the bicentennial anniversary of the 1811 New Madrid earthquake, for which the New Madrid seismic zone is named. NLE 2011 will be the first national level exercise to simulate a natural hazard. And it gets into, if your private sector company would like to be involved in this, you can send an email and yada yada. posted up along with this, I do have my flashbacks of following these drills over the last couple of years. So you can look at 2009 and 2010. That involves, of course, foreign troops on U.S. soil and all our private military contractors. And again, James, we see a situation that we've talked about many times where drills have a habit of going live. They can be used to conduit black ops and rogue elements to turn a drill live, as we saw with the drills on 9/11 or the drills on 7/7 or many other instances. It's also a possibility, I think, sometimes too, that a drill or an exercise gets set up to cover up something already going on. And we see the massive destruction going on in the American South as the Mississippi River floods, and we have had earthquakes, and we have had tornadoes, and we have had these mass animal die-offs. And there are the stories about blowing up levees and all of these strange things that kind of surround this New Madrid area. So I'll just speculate that perhaps they're putting this into action because there's already, you know, bad situations going down. What's your take?
Well, I think that's both of those aspects are right, but also I think that the drills can be used to condition us that that these events are going to happen, so that when they're constantly doing terror drills, then we somehow expect that terror is some sort of all-pervasive, ever-present threat that can be there at any time. So those drills are used for conditioning. They're used for sometimes bringing the events about. They're used for all sorts of different things. That's why we keep our eyes on them, and that's why it's good to know about these types of drills and to follow them.
But I think it's also important to point out that such massively publicized drills like these probably have a smaller likelihood of having, you know, something go wrong or things go live. It's unfortunately the drills we don't know about that are the true worry, I would say. But James, I guess our three stories here do kind of tie up. And as we've said, I believe at the end of the last couple episodes, that just because the bin Laden boogeyman's dead, and just because they seem like they're setting up for something. They're putting their ducks in a row for an eventual, and to me, my eyes would see that it's going to be some type of economic collapse and not necessarily a tornado.
Yes, well, I think that's right. I think there is an economic Armageddon coming very soon, and who knows what they'll try to bring about in order to head us off at the pass in terms of dealing with that. But at any rate, it's going to be an interesting road finding out, isn't it?
So these and other stories, of course, I will go into as well all the other news of the world on my upcoming episode this week. And James, what do you have in store?
Something very interesting. I'll let people see it when it drops on the site.
All right, man. Okay. Well, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Take care.